Yes, so Avnish Basudev Sharma from Amsterdam NICAF. So Professor Stefanov, you talked about this viscosity coefficient. Do you know where this 1 over 4 pi comes from, if you were to calculate it? The viscosity coefficient, which is roughly 1 over 4 pi. Yeah, do you know where it comes from? How do you calculate it?
I can explain it just in the air. I guess that would be enough.
Okay.
Yeah. So that comes from the work of Kaftun, Son, and Starinets. It comes from a calculation based on ADS-CFT duality, right? So in general, calculating viscosity in quantum field theory is a difficult problem, right? Because it's always non-perturbative. However, ADS-CFT allows us to do the calculation in a certain class of theories. And in this particular case, it's n equals 4 super Young Mills, right, SUM, at infinitely strong coupling, is believed to be dual to a classical theory of gravity in five dimensions in a special AGS space background, right? So now in that calculation, well, you calculate something else. The duality means that some quantity in this dual theory, which is the gravity theory, corresponds, so is equal to some quantity in the quantum field theory, which in this case is a super Young-Mills theory, right? So the viscosity in the super Young-Mills theory corresponds to the scattering cross-section of gravitons on a black hole in that ADS space, right? So, and if you do this calculation, you will find that viscosity is 1 over 4 pi h bar times entropy density in this theory. That's where it comes from.
Okay. Then do you think that there are other observables or coefficients in the quark gluon plasma which can be calculated using ADS-CFT, which for now we don't have any other way to calculate them?
Could you say, do I believe that there are
other coefficients or observables which now we don't have any clue about how to calculate them in, I don't know, QFT or mm-hmm. putting the stuff on a lattice, mm-hmm. but where ADS-CFT can actually bring us forward and
so,
provide hints?
Yes and no. It depends on what you mean by calculating it. So precise calculation, no. There is no known ADS dual to QCD, or at least not the one which could be solvable, right? So no, precise calculation is not possible. But it is possible to calculate in theories which are similar to QCD, that is the ones which have confinement, that they have quarks, etc. So such calculations have been done, right? So for example, n equals 4 super Young-Mills in many respects is similar to QCD. because it's a gauge theory, right? But in many respects, it is different from QCD, right? So in this theory, many things were calculated, and this, in fact, viscosity wasn't the first one. First one was the entropy density, for example, was an interesting calculation which attracted attention. So since it's a conformal theory, the entropy density has to be, all thermodynamic functions have to be basically powers of temperature, because there's no other scale, right? But the coefficient in front of T to the 4, right, is non-trivial number, right? In the case of free theory, it's you get the coefficient is given by Stefan-Boltzmann law, right? At infinite coupling, this coefficient is different by a factor of 3/4. So there was an interesting result. I think this was the first result obtained by Kupsa, Polyakov, and I think there was three authors on the Klebanov, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken. So this was the first calculation of thermodynamic quantity in such theories, right? And that has an interesting implications. For example, people often look at this plot of entropy as a function, entropy in units of T⁴ as a function of temperature, which I showed. And you can see that, yes, it saturates the eventually the Stefan-Boltzmann limit, but but it does it very slowly. In fact, we know it does it logarithmically. But in the regime near the crossover, it quickly reaches the value which is approximately 3/4. This was one of the weaker arguments, weaker than the argument that viscosity is small, given that the quark-gluon plasma near this crossover region or above the crossover region is a strongly coupled plasma, not a weakly coupled plasma. And of course, there were calculations in series which are more similar to QCD with quarks, and all kind of quantities can be calculated. You can calculate, for example, diffusion constant of a quark. This has been calculated as well.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Hey, this is Daniel Kincses from Hungary. So you mentioned that the tool to probe the QCD phase diagram is to change the center of mass collision energy. And my question is, could you tell us something about the role of the system size that plays, for example, for one given center of mass collision energy, if we change the centrality or the initial system size, how that affects the probing of the QCD phase diagram, like what part of the phase diagram do we fall on if we change the system size?
Yes, I wasn't planning to talk about it, so it's good that you asked this question. But I did mention that square root of S is not the only parameter which experimentalists can adjust. System size is another one, and you can control the system size in two, you could say, two major ways. One, you can choose the ions that you collide. You don't have to go to the heaviest one, like lead or gold. You can go with oxygen, for example, and so that can be done. Another way, less direct, is to select collisions which are not central. And you can tell that the collision is not completely central. Obviously, you cannot aim the nuclei in such the way you want. They collide randomly at different impact parameters. But you can easily tell which collisions are central and which are not by the number of hadrons they produce, right? So you can basically, and that's what experimentalists usually do. That's how they choose different what they call centrality beams by multiplicity of produced hadrons in order, and then compare them, right? So the quantity which is usually used in this case is the number of participants, basically how many nucleus are involved. And so I was going to say a little bit more about this during this talk, but let me say it now that so the dependence on the freeze-out point, which is basically two numbers, temperature and chemical potential on the phase diagram, because it's two-dimensional. When you change square root of S, mostly it changes the chemical potential, more than temperature. The situation, what happens when you change the system size, it's the opposite. Temperature changes more than the chemical potential. Right? And the reason for that is somewhat non-trivial. The reason for that is that the mechanism of freeze-out. So the smaller the system, the faster it freezes out. The earlier it freezes out, right? Which means it freezes out while it hasn't cooled as much as the bigger one, right? So in principle, infinitely large system will never freeze out, right? Freeze out at zero temperature, will cool all the way down, like a neutron star, right? But smaller system, so you basically, by controlling both square root of S and the centrality, you can then, if you remember the position of these points, these are the freeze out, these red points on the plot which I showed, are the freeze out points for central collisions. If you add also freeze out points for less central collisions, you will basically cover some kind of strip on the phase diagram. That should answer your question, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, so for the lattice QCD, you mentioned that at the zero chemical potential, you see no crossover. And what is the status of attempts at doing lattice QCD calculations with finite chemical potential, like non-zero?
Is that
possible or difficult?
That was my next comment I was going to make also on that slide. You will see it tomorrow. But all I was going to say is that lattice QCD still cannot access the full phase diagram at finite chemical potential because of the sign problem, right? So essentially, what I said early in the talk, the way that we approach the problem from the first principle numerically, which is calculating directly the partition function, hinges on the fact that this quantum partition function can be written as a path integral, which essentially looks like a statistical sum for a five-dimensional system, right? Sorry, four-dimensional system, right? With time, Euclidean time added as additional dimension. And the reason that it can be done numerically using Monte Carlo is because the action of the system, which in for the classical system is basically the Hamiltonian, classical Hamiltonian, is real, right, in this case, which changes when you turn on chemical potential. When you turn on chemical potential, this action is no longer real, and you cannot treat it as a probability weight, which is the central ingredient in the Monte Carlo calculation. So latest calculations, well, it didn't stop, of course, latest calculations. There have been many directions which were pursued. I think the most explored one is, instead of calculating the pressure as a function of chemical potential, one can still calculate derivatives of pressure at zero chemical potential, because there the Monte Carlo method still works, no sign problem. But then the best you can do is a Taylor expansion in the chemical potential. And so you could see how the pressure changes as you go off the zero chemical potential axis into the phase diagram. But of course, if your question is where are the singularities of the pressure, this is a function of temperature, we already see that it is a smooth analytic function, right? If at some point it becomes singular or not, you cannot tell it using the Taylor expansion, unless you have, you know, a large number of terms, like of order 100 maybe, which is beyond current capabilities, right? So at this point, you could still make some estimates. You could see that if all the coefficients in a Taylor expansion have the same sign, then you can estimate the radius of convergence, which gives you some idea where the singularity could happen. So that's one way. There are few others which I could also talk about. I wasn't planning to. If you want, I could. If you name one, I can tell you what's the status there. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. That was Burns, by the way. Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe to go on about this sign problem in that QCD. So in numerical many-body physics in condensed matter, people got around this sign problem by going to tensor networks. Why can't we do the same in lattice QCD?
That's a good question. I think somebody tried, and I don't remember what was the. There is no free lunch, so there is always some problem going. But I don't remember what exactly is the the outcome of this. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I should say the sign problem is not a problem specific to QCD. There are very important condensed matter problems which involve the sign problem. Yeah.
I have a generic question.
Yes.
So has the large NC limit been ever considered for QCD phase transitions, and would it have any utility? Or?
Yes. It was, and yes.
Hi, Khadija Bapari from Durham University. So the question was, has the large NC limit ever been considered to study QCD phase transitions, and what would be the implications, or does it have any utility? And like, would the Polyakov loop be a valid order parameter in that case?
Yes, yes and yes. However, so we know what happens at large NC, we understand. Basically, an easy way to think about it is that when you take the limit large NC, it also depends on what do you do with the number of flavors. If you fix the number of flavors, right, then large NC looks like pure Young-Mills, because then the whole partition function is dominated by gluons, because their number NC squared becomes infinitely large, right? And then what happens in pure Young-Mills at any NC is kind of understood. It's a first order phase transition, which I think becomes weaker as you increase NC. I think that's the conclusion. But it's a first order phase transition. In that sense, it is different from QCD with quarks, right? Because there we know it's a crossover. Yes?
Yeah, so the name is Aidan Chatwin-Davies from KU Leuven. And my question was about this little bang phenomenon that you told us about. So the little bang being in many ways similar to QCD dominated phase of the very early universe. But where the expansion is into existing space and not into, is not the expansion of space itself. My question is there any way, or are there any proposals for mocking up the expansion of the space itself in like a heavy ion collision? And so in so doing, be able to construct like a simulator, an analog simulator for this phase of the early universe, including expansion of space.
I think people who do these kind of GR calculations, I'm not sure, interesting, I don't see why they cannot do this without help from heavy iron a community. In fact, it's, I would say it's the opposite. Heavy iron community in recent day, years was trying to learn from GR community because their methods apparently are similar. It's basically hydrodynamics, right? But because of the additional complication of gravity, right, they're more advanced numerically. So I would say if anything, the numerical GR community can handle this kind of problem.
I see. So nothing in principle to be gained by doing these experiments actually in the laboratory with heavy ion collisions going in the other direction towards the gravity side.
Are you asking whether the cosmology community can learn something from heavy ion community? Is that what?
Yeah, that's right. Say, learn something experimentally from heavy ion collisions.
Well, in principle. Well, there, in principle, we already learned, for example, in order to do the even GR simulation, you need to know equation of state, right? And that we can only get either in the lab or from the latest calculation. So that information, which is needed in the would be needed in such GR calculation comes from the source, right? So yes, from that point of view, it does give a valuable input for cosmology.
Great, thank you.
I believe, yeah.
I want to put a remark in between. It's between a question and a remark, which is all about one of N and other expansions.
There
must be a bunch of expansion parameters in QCD. One of N being one, the coupling constant itself, of course, is standard perturbation expansion. But you can also take a soft pion limit, which where the pions are so soft that if you get a renormalizer of phi to the fourth or phi to the third theory. So all these different expansions are possible. I know Schiefmann has come with a bunch of supersymmetric versions of QCD where you can calculate a lot more than in QCD itself.
Yeah.
So, and right now I can't think of any other, but I'm sure there must be more things with respect to which you can expand. Oh yes, you can put it on a lattice mm-hmm. and make a one over coupling constant expansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very interesting because it contains confinement
yeah.
in its lowest order terms.
Yes.
And you also put the theory in a box and expand
yes.
the size of the box.
Yes.
So what happens if you put all these expansion parameters together and you might have a rather sound way of computing things?
Yes. For example, what you mentioned, the large inverse coupling expansion of the lattice, QCD put on the lattice, was actually used to calculate the phase diagram at finite chemical potential, where which is the most difficult part for the lattice, so impossible at that point. So. Yeah, this kind of expansions have been used. But combining several of them, nothing comes to mind right away, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is some literature where they are combined, like large N and large coupling, for example. Yeah.
Large N and large coupling is a nice expansion you can do. Large N and large coupling.
Yeah.
Yes, I did it long ago with Bernard DeWitt.
Yeah.
I wrote a paper on it, but
yeah,
it's
and of
quite
course,
general.
Large N and small coupling is also another. Right.
And you can go into a number of dimensions.
Yeah.
All sorts of things are possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Are there more questions?
Yes?
Hi, Anna Maria. So can you then say a little bit more? So how far does this analogy between, for instance, the universe and the heavy ion collisions go, actually? So is it just the equation of state or?
How far?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it goes, well, it depends on your measure of distance in this question. So, yeah, there are many similar. I think the main difference would be the expansion of space, right? So the GR plays an essential role in one case. The system is bigger, right? And no role in the heavy ion collisions, right? On the other hand, in the heavy ion collisions, we can probe not only zero baryon asymmetry expansion, but also finite baryon asymmetry, right? So this is a kind of allows us to study the phase diagram away from the you know, zero baryon asymmetry axis. So it gives us access to the equation of state. Yeah. And as I already said, heavy ion collisions could be repeated depending on the availability of funding, essentially. And Big Bang, we cannot repeat it. It is what it is. Yes.
Yeah, so this is Burns. What is the status with regard to like understanding confinement? For example, the I think Hitoshi Murayama posted some claim that based on some supersymmetry breaking scheme, there's certain, or I guess there's various understandings more of confinement, but what's roughly the status overall?
I haven't followed this, so I may be out of date on this. Yeah, so I'm not sure I could give you an accurate answer to that question. Yeah, I know, as far as I know, the $1 million prize haven't been claimed. That's that one can check.
I just want to emphasize that your activity in asking questions is now being recorded, so it is part of the way in which the diplomas are going to be decided upon. So people who are strongly encouraged to be active in the discussions. So please continue asking questions. Particularly if you haven't asked much questions yet.
Yes?
Hi, it's Daniel from Hungary. I have another question. So now it is seems to be established that at like zero baryochemical potential, we have a crossover, and then there is a recent experimental results from the star experiment which suggests that at higher MUBIs that there is a first order transition. And then, of course, we expect that there should be some very critical point in between, but is could it be still a possibility that there is no critical point?
The short answer is yes. Yeah. You know, there's no reason, I'm not aware of any proof that critical point has to be there. But I will talk more about that tomorrow and argue why we should think, or we should expect critical point, that it's more likely is there than not. And of course, the results of STAR that you mentioned have very interesting hints that it actually may be the case. And more data is coming.
Well, if there are really no more questions, and I would like to thank the speaker again. continue with Professor Alford on dense matter from neutron star mergers.